Without further delay, it is our honor to invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi on this seventh night as we commemorate the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to address the believers. His topic is Imam Hussein alayhi salam against the age of nihilism. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق اجمعين وباعث الانبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاه والسلام على محمد واله الاطهار السلام عليك يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة السلام عليك يا قتيل الأدعياء السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى ورحمة الله وبركاته صلوا على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected brothers and sisters and honorable scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your deeds for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein during these days and nights, which has the highest value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah, give us this tawfiq to continue, inshallah, this sincere mourning and remembering the name of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, inshallah, in the following days and nights, especially on the day of Ashura. To, inshallah, perfect our mourning, we need to be, as a general recommendation for every deed, for every sincere deed, we need to be mindful when we participate in the gatherings for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, when we recite Ziyarat al-Ashura, when even are cooking food for this majalis or doing anything. Being mindful of the greatness of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This is so important. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ with this kind of interpretation. The best reward goes to the deed with the best intention. An intention comes with the mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. We have to feel that we are in the presence of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And he is fully alive, and inshallah in the next night I will talk about that. Every year we hold this majalis to remember the martyrdom of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But we need to understand that Imam Hussein's message was not just limited to his age. And we can even say that his message is greater and brighter for our age, more than the age he lived in. And this is so important. And always, when you read this book, Kamil al-Ziyarat, from Ibn Qulawiyya al-Qummi, one of the most authentic books in the Shia literature, Shaykh Hurr al-Amili, in Vasa'il, he says that all the Rijal, all the narrators in the chain of the narrations of this book, all are authentic. Even Ayatollah Khoui, at least for years, he believed so. And he would believe that everyone in the chain of the narrations of this book, they are all thiqat, authentic. Yes, he changed his mind at the final years, but all these discussions is about the level of the value of this book. This book has a great value in the eyes of the Shi'i scholars. In this book, if you begin to read this book, inshallah, that is very good to do that. You see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning you see that every prophet is going to be acquainted with the name of Hussein. The angels, ashiya, the things, the objects, all of them, they weep for Hussein and they know Hussein. And Ahlul Bayt, they delivered us this message that everything, ma yura wa ma la yura, they all weep upon Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Why? Yes, there is a otherworldly aspect of this kind of conception. When we talk about Hussein, we know that if anyone wants to get the highest levels on the Day of Judgment, he has to be with Hussein. There is a long narration by Imam al-Sadiq, I think. Inshallah, I will talk about this in the next night. There, he talks about the interlocutors of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein on the Day of Judgment. Huddathul Hussein. They don't even enter the heaven because they are with Hussein in Mahshar. They don't go into the heaven at first. وَيَخْتَارُونَ مَجْلِسَهُ وَحَدِيثَهُ. This is the otherworldly aspect of Hussein, and that is great, and I will talk about that. But Karbala has a real message for today's life, for our age. This kind of gatherings, mournings, it's not just a costume for us. It's not just a culture, like an Iranian or Pakistani or Indian or Iraqi culture. No. Ahlul Bayt, they wanted to teach us something, to give us a key for the eternity, to remain alive, to remain spiritual. And that key was the name of Hussein, salamullahi alayhi. Tonight, I'm just talking about one of the aspects of the Ashura that can help us for today's life. And it will be somehow a scholarly discussion. Maybe you find it somehow difficult, but inshallah, bear with me. I try to deliver this message, inshallah. You know, in our age, which is called the modern age or postmodern age, the age that began in the 16th century in the West, in Europe. There were philosophies, please be with me, philosophies, ideas, concepts that denied the past of the culture and the religion of the Europeans. You know, Europe was conquered for 1,000 years by Christianity. The Catholic definition of the Christianity, description of Christianity. But after a while, philosophers, scientists, thinkers emerged, and they started to criticize whatever they had from Christianity. Every concept that you can even imagine. This was the beginning of a new age. It's called modern age. Began with René Descartes and then other English, German, French philosophers, Thomas Hobbes or John Locke and Immanuel Kant. They had, you know, different messages. I'm not going to get into that. But one of their major messages was subjectivism. You may wonder how this subjectivism is going to be connected with Karbala. Just please be with me. What is subjectivism? Because of that kind of skepticism that they had about everything, because of the teachings of the church, and then they saw that the wall and the building of all the teachings of the church just demolished by science and philosophy, they started to be skeptical about everything. Some philosophers, they wanted to solve this problem, and they referred everything into the conception of the human being. René Descartes, he said, "I start with myself. I question everything, but I cannot question myself. My doubt on myself, okay? So I begin with myself. And then whatever I could evaluate the truth of it by myself, that would be authentic, a real thing for me." So the source of the authenticity, the source of the truth of everything is me. It comes from inside me. It is dependent on me. It is called subjectivism. Subject in front of object. Subject is me. He wanted to solve the problems, but technically he started a major problem for the Western civilization. A civilization which is based on this self, on this me, on this I, on this subject, which questions everything and doesn't leave any room for anything outside of this me. Look what happens. Every value that came from outside, religious values, cultural values, anything, any value outside of my evaluation, my conception cannot be correct, for sure. So all those values, they were all going to fall apart. This happened with René Descartes, and more importantly, in the 19th century, it happened with Immanuel Kant. And I'm not going to get into that, the philosophical discussion. What happened? This was one of the aspects, the subjectivism. Everything comes from me. I put value on everything. Okay? So I am the mizan. I am the circumstance of everything, every value. The second thing was the emerging of secularism. They said that a human being is a worldly race, and he can manage his worldly life. He doesn't need any divine revelation. Okay? So I say how to run our society. The human being has to say how we run our, how we care about our atmosphere, how we care about our, you know, teachings, how we care about architecture, everything, anything. The culture, the politics, economy, everything that comes must come from me. Secularism. Disconnecting the other world's concepts and this worldly concepts. Okay? This is the second thing. And the third thing is the capitalism. You know, after the 17th century, something emerged in the West called capitalism. You know, capitalism is not talking about the wealth and the money. It says you have to have capital to produce more capital. They said, it's not just for preserving money. No, no, no. The meaning of work and the meaning of the social interaction between people must be producing more and more and more capital. So the work, your job, does not mean anything. It means just gaining more capital for those people who hold more wealth, and it may be for you, capitalism. This third element, subjectivism, secularism, and capitalism, they all together, they helped European man and the Western civilization and then the whole world to take meaning from everything. Brothers and sisters, when I am the one who puts value on everything, so there is no outside value. This is just me who says what is valuable or isn't valuable. When there is no connection between this world and the other world, nothing has a transcendental meaning. And when society is running by capitalism, which means that capital for the capital, so even work and social interactions has no meaning. What does it mean has no meaning? It means that you cannot find any transcendental concept in this life. And this is not what I say. Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher that died on the 1900, at the beginning of the 20th century, he said that. He said, our age is the age of nihilism. We cannot find any more meaning in our life. And he said, the next 2 centuries of Europe will be the age and era of nihilism, nothingness. He said, we killed the God. This is one of his most famous quotes. He says what? God is dead. By God is dead, he means that we killed God. And without God, we don't have any meaning. And he's an atheist. I know that. But I'm talking about his description of the current world. He says, we killed God. And without God, our life is meaningless. This is the situation of today's world. You see the desecration of Quran in Sweden and Denmark. Why? Why does this happen? They want, and by they, I don't mean that there are some people in a room and they are ruling the world and this and that. No, no, no. It's not a science fiction. By they, I mean this kind of conception, this kind of idea, this kind of new philosophy. They want to break any value in this world. So don't just see that, you know, Iraqi guy who went to Sweden and burnt Quran and desecrated Quran. No. This is a process of demolishing any value in this world. And you have to deal with it. This is the freedom of speech. anyone can practice what he thinks. So he believes that Quran, na'udhu billah, is worthless, na'udhu billah. He does this. You think that something else is worthless? You do that. Okay. But the final end of every single of these actions is what? No value in this world. No value. And they make it normal. You know, I remember 15 years ago, there was a pastor, a priest in U.S. He started to burn Quran. I don't remember his name. He started desecrating Quran. In that time, you know, a great population of Muslims, they came out and they protested against this. But this time, you don't see that kind of uprising. So it's getting normal. You have to accept it. That there is nothing valuable, means the transcendental value in this world. Everything can be questioned, everything can be ignored, everything can be burned. This is the characteristic of today's world. And the irony is, they verbally, they say that nothing is holy. Nothing can remain intact from the freedom of speech. But every sign of the neo-era's ignorance is sanctified by them. Look at the homosexuality. Go in the Western countries, and if you dare something, say something against it, and you will be labeled as homophobic. Look at the transgenderism. Even their conservative parties, they are mad at it. But they are labeled as transphobic. You can desecrate Quran, but you cannot desecrate homosexuality. This is the new, valuable, holy element and sign of our age. Look how beautiful they are changing the places of things. Verbally, they say nothing is valuable, but actually, they are giving values to some of the ideas or actions. This is the characteristic of our age. Nothingness, nihilism. And many people, they are Muslims. Yes, they are born Muslim. In Pakistan, in Iran, in Iraq, they have the ID. Yes, ID card, Muslim, Muhammad Ali Hossein Reza. Okay? But they are technically, they are drowned in this kind of nihilism. They accepted all of those things. Deep down, they believe that nothing is valuable. Nothing has a transcendental greatness. Okay? Even Muslims. Because being Muslim is not so difficult. You just need, you know, two human beings as parents, Muslim parents, and you will be Muslim. Okay? It's done. This is the quality, the characteristic of our age and life. So, what is Hussein for us? This is what even our Sunni brothers doesn't have. They don't have this. Hussein is the greatest manifestation of meaning in the history of mankind. This is why those people who are with Hussein, lived with Hussein, raised with the name of Hussein, they are somehow immune from this kind of conceptions. Because they have Hussein. And they experience the meaning of this great personality and his movement. This is why we read this in Ziyarah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu annaka qutilta wa lam tamut. I bear witness that you've been killed. وَلَمْ تَمُتْ, but you're not dead. Look how beautiful this line is. أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قُتِلْتَ, they killed you, but you're still alive. بَلْ بِرَجَاءِ حَيَاتِكَ حَيِّيَتْ قُلُوبُ شِيَعَتِكَ. And because we have this hope in you, because we see you are alive, our hearts are still alive. بَلْ بِرَجَاءِ حَيَاتِكَ حَيِّيَتْ قُلُوبُ شِيَعَتِكَ. I think this term, رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ الْوَاسِعَةِ, what we say, السلام عليك يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة. I think for us, this is the meaning of rahmat, the great mercy, manifestation of the mercy of Allah. Why Hussein is the manifestation of the mercy of Allah? Because Hussein is the only personality here, or the greatest one, who can save people. Save the entire humanity from this nihilism, which is very serious. This kind of media, this kind of economy, this kind of social systems, they all are pushing us into nothingness, into believing that nothing can have a higher value. But when you have Hussein in your life, and if you actually have Hussein in your life, because sometimes, as I said, we have a cultural Hussein and a religious, real Hussein. The cultural Hussein is the Hussein of many of us. Yes? Iranian made Hussein, Pakistani made Hussein, Lebanese made Hussein, Iraqi made Hussein. Yeah? We have made our Hussein. Our beloved standard of Abi Abdullah Hussein, which unfortunately is not necessarily in line with the real Hussein. Yeah. I'm not talking about this Hussein. I'm talking about the real Hussein, who really stood against all those signs of the transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is so important, that Hussein salamullahi alayhi, he did this for his time and age. Because even in the time of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, somehow a level of this nihilism and decreasing all the values was happening by Yazid, by the system of al-Khilafah, by doing what? By, you know, practicing the superficial Islam and leaving the depth of Islamic teachings. And this is why Abi Abdullah al-Hussein says, وَعَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَسْسَلَامِ. Islam is over. When? إِذْ قَدْ بُلِيَتِ الْأُمَّةُ بِرَاعٍ مِثْلِ يَزِيدٍ. When the ruler of this community is Yazid, the Islam is over. And brothers and sisters, you know, Yazid did not prevent people from going to Hajj or from praying or fasting. No. The appearance of Islamic Ummah was so Islamic. I'm not talking about the Yazid's inside jobs. Yes, he was a very filthy man. But many great companions of Rasulullah in Medina and Mecca and Kufa, they didn't know about these things about Yazid. So everything was, and this is why they said to Hussein that you are dividing the Ummah of Rasulullah. Why are you doing this? But Hussein is seeing something higher than this. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَأَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ لَا يُتَنَاهَا عَنْهِ. And Hussein has decided to do something forever. And if you go and read that Kamil al-Ziyarat book, you will see that this narration, these narrations of this book is talking to us, not just the companions of Imam Ridha or Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhim. They were talking to us. This is the time of desperation. This is the time that we really need Hussein. And we should not neglect this. This is Hussein ibn Ali. And he taught every single companion of himself this truthfulness, this understanding of the real meaning of this fault. This is why he said, "Man kana baadhilan fina muhjatahu." It was before Karbala. I think maybe a month before Karbala. It was the time that he was informed from the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil and Hani ibn Urwa. He didn't change his mind that going back to Medina, no. He said what? "Man kana baadhilan fina muhjatahu." Whoever is ready to willingly give away his blood for us in our path. وَمُوَطِّنًا عَلَىٰ لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ نَفْسَهُ. And whoever is ready to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his death, فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا. This person has the permission to come with us. This person. So to be with Hussein, you have to be ready. بَاذِلًا فِينَا مُهْجَتَهُ وَمُبَطِّنًا عَلَىٰ لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ نَفْسَهُ. Imam Hussein wanted to create a masterpiece in the history of the mankind. It wasn't about the invitation of the people of Kufa. Yes, it had its effect. But his purpose was much greater than that. Some people think that Imam Hussein just got trapped in Karbala. He came there and he didn't know that the army of Umar ibn Sa'd will face him. And he had no choice. Shahid Mutahiri says what? He says that this statement by Hussein, that man kana badhilan fina muhjatahu wa mubattina ala liqa'i illahi nafsahu, this was before the time of Karbala. Imam Hussein was informed of the martyrdom of Hani and Muslim, but didn't go back. He stayed on the path and he came to Karbala while he knew that he's going to be killed. This is the Hussein that we have to understand and know. Inshallah, in the next night, inshallah, I will talk about that very short letter of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya. فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ. And the message of that kind of letter to us. So this meaning was a great meaning for everyone. And those who were with Hussein on the night of Ashura, they could experience and witness the reality of this meaning. This is when it is said that Hussein alayhi salam, in that tent with his companions, he told them that, "My brothers, it's over. And they are here for me. Whoever wants to leave me, this is the desert. And no one is going to stop you. Just leave. They are here for me. They are here for me." This is the moment that Sayyid ibn Abdullah, Zuhair ibn Qayn, Habib ibn Madahir, they one by one stood and said, "We will not leave you, Ya Hussein. Even if they kill us for a thousand times." After Abi Abdullah saw the steadfastness and greatness of his companions, it is said that he showed the position of all of the companions and his household who are going to be killed tomorrow and martyred tomorrow in the heaven. This is the place of Habib. This is the place of Zuhair. This is the place of Sa'id. This is the place of Buraid. This is the place of Amr ibn Junadah. This is the place of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. This is the moment that Qasim came to Abi Abdullah and said, Ya Amma, oh my uncle, am I among these people? Is it going to happen to me too? Look how Abi Abdullah how nurtures his companions and his family. He said, كيف الموت عندك? How do you see the death? How is the death in your eyes? Abi Abdullah asked Qasim. This is the moment that Qasim said, أحلى من العسل. And you know, this statement by Qasim, نعوذ بالله, was not of the ignorance. He doesn't know the death, so he says, أحلى من العسل. No, he knows, he sees 30,000 soldiers of the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd. They are ready to kill them. He said, oh my uncle, this is sweeter than the honey for me. Then Abi Abdullah al-Husayn said, yes, you will be among them, but after you've been through a very difficult trial and turbulence. Qasim was the gift of Imam al-Hasan for Abi Abdullah on the day of Ashura. And if you remember, there was a time that Imam Hasan was poisoned and he was ill in his house. And everyone around him, around Imam al-Hasan salamullah alayhi, Imam Hussein was there, Umm Kulthum was there, Zainab was there, the sons and the children of Imam al-Hasan, they were there, Abul Fadl al-Abbas was there, and every single one of them, they were weeping and crying, and they were so, so anxious and sad. And this was the time that Imam al-Hasan looked at the beautiful face of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein with the tears on his face and said, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, you don't need to weep and cry, because la yawm ka yawmika ya because when I'm dying, I'm surrounded with my family and my relatives. Because you are here, my head is on your lap, Ya Hussein. Zainab is here, there is no enemy present in this earth. But oh, Ya Hussein, la yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. Brothers and sisters, this night is dedicated to Imam Hassan's son. Ask anything you want from Imam Hassan with your tears, inshallah, tonight.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. As-salamu ala man ja'ala Allah al-shifa'a fi turbatin. Peace be upon whom Allah placed the cure in the soil of his place of martyrdom. As-salamu ala man al-ijabata tahta qubbatin. Peace be upon the one under whose doom answer
answer to supplications is guaranteed. Ya Mawlaya, Ya Abu Abdullah, what happened on the day of Ashura? After the companions, they got their permission and they went and they got martyred. And after Ali ibn al-Akbar, as the first Hashimi, went to the battlefield and got martyred. Qasim, in his 12 or 13 year old age, he entered the tent of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Abi Abdullah looked at his face before he talks. The face was so similar to the face of Husayn. Oh Qasim, why are you here? Why are you here? Qasim came to Abi Abdullah. Oh my uncle, I love you. You raised me. I had no father. I was the orphan of Azza. You were actually my father. Ya Mawla, Ya Amma, fa'adhalli, give me the permission. I want to go and fight the enemy. Abi Abdullah denied. He said, no, you are so young, you should not go for the fight. It is said in Maqtal, فَلَمْ يَزَلِ الْغُلَامُ يُقَبِّلُ يَدَيْهِ وَرِجْلَيْهِ وَيَسْأَلُهُ الْإِذْنِ. He started to kiss the hands and the feet of his uncle. He was begging Hussein, Ya Abba, give me the permission. Ya Amma, it is said, they cried and wept. Hatta ghushiya alayhima, they both passed away for a moment. And then Abi Abdullah accepted that you can go. Ya baqiyat azza, ya walad Hassan, you can go. Qasim came to the field and started shouting this rajayaz, intanukuruni fa'ana ibn al-Husayn sibtu an-nabiy al-Mustafa wal-Mu'taman. If you don't know me, I am the son of Hassan. If you don't know me, I am the grandson of Rasulullah. And then what beautiful he said, Hadha Husayna ya yani kal asir al-murtad. This is my uncle Hussein, like a captive in your hands. He went to the field. The boy had fought bravely, valiantly. The soldiers of Umar ibn Sa'd got angry at this boy. They said, he is so young, why aren't you go and kill him? One of them came to Qasim. Hatta yadaraba ra'sahu bis-saif. He strikes Qasim in the head and he fell from the horse. This is the moment he called for the help from Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. He shouted, Ya Amma, Ya Amma, Ya Amma. It is said Abi Abdullah rushed to Qasim so fast. When he came and stood beside Qasim, you know the difference between Ali ibn al-Akbar and Qasim. When Abi Abdullah came to Ali ibn al-Akbar, he suddenly said, فَقَدْ تَوُّ بِسُّيُّ فِي مِرْبَلِ إِرْبَلِ. Akbar had no breath. He was killed in there. But Qasim was still breathing. Abi Abdullah came to him. وانجلت الغبرة. When the dust sat down. فإذا, look at the image of that time. فإذا بالحسين عليه السلام قائم على رأس الغلايا. Abi Abdullah said by him and said, what? This is what Abi Abdullah says. والحسين يقول عز والله على أمك أن تدعو فلا يجيب. How hard it is for your uncle to not be able to answer you when you call him. And it was the final breath of Qasim. He died in the hands of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Now everyone was watching him, wondering what he will do next. What is going to do Hussein with this boy? Is he going to call the younger man? Is he going to say, come the youth of Bani Hashim? But no, what happened? He bent down. Abu Abdullah did this. Bent down. He picked up Qasim's lifeless body. He pressed his chest to his arm and carried him all the way back to the tent. Ya Abu Abdullah, Qasim was covered in blood. The cloth and the chest of Abi Abdullah got bloody of the blood of Qasim. But ya Mawlana, ya Sayyidana, ya Hussein, I have a question for you. And every time I have to ask this, we have to ask this. Mawlana, when Imam al-Hasan was dying, you were there. Your face, the beauty of your presence was a solace and peace for Hassan. When Ali ibn al-Akbar got martyred, you were there. When Qasim fell on the ground, you were there. And you pushed the enemy and you didn't let them come close to Qasim. But ya Mawlana, ya Hussein, what happened to you in the final moments, ya Abu Abdullah? There was no Hassan, no Qasim, no Ali ibn al-Akbar, no Abbas, but one person was Jamraya. جالس على صدر الوزن آخذ بلحيته السلام عليك يا مولانا السلام على الخد السري السلام على الشيب الخضيب السلام على البدن السليب يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله الحسين لا ضحك الله سن الدهر وآل أحمد مظلومون قد قتلوا This is for you the night of the son of Imam al-Hasan. Imam al-Hasan is the Imam of generosity. Anything you want, anything it is in your mind, just have your intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, for the greatness and the value and the haqq
of Imam Hassan will grant you, inshallah, with giving this to you, inshallah. إلهي بالحسن يا الله 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 اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الأربعين اللهم اجعلنا من خلص الشيعة مولانا أمير المؤمنين اللهم اشغل الظالمين بالظالمين واجعلنا بينهم صالمين غانمين اللهم احفظ وأيد وانصر قائدنا الخامنئي اللهم احفظ علماءنا ومراجعنا اللهم اجعلنا من جنود المهدي اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير عوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.